Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's entrepreneur spent 18 years running Crumb Transport, a trucking company that transported citrus, grains, and fertilizer. That business took him from being broke to being a self-made millionaire all before his 25th birthday. Now, he is the founder and CEO of Conscious Millionaire, which he calls a global movement of entrepreneurs dedicated to achieving a higher purpose and higher profits. He is also a best-selling author, keynote speaker, certified business coach, licensed attorney, and a serial entrepreneur. Now, let's hack J.V. Crumb III. I want to thank today's awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not only for sponsoring Hack the Entrepreneur, but also for personally helping me fix one of my biggest problems. I am absolutely terrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. Now, rather than losing receipts and handing my accountant a giant box of papers at the end of the year, FreshBooks has an amazing app for my phone that lets me instantly take pictures of my receipts and sort them with the touch of a single button. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners and is the number one cloud accounting solution that helps millions of entrepreneurs and small business owners to save time and get paid faster. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Okay, we are back on Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a great guest. Welcome to the show, JV.
Well, thanks for having me here. Now, I'm a little confused. Should I call you John or Johnny?
It all depends. Well, maybe we'll get back to that later.
Okay.
So, JV.
I'll just call you Mr. Nastor. How's that?
There we go. All right. That always
show you
goes
respect,
over well.
Because you got a great... No, seriously, you have such a great show. I'm really excited to be on because I love your show. And, you know, when you're in a podcast person, we listen to other people's shows. You've got a great show.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I really do. So JV, can you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor so far to your successes?
No question whatsoever. It's absolutely, it's immediate. It's that I have learned how to get in and live in the zone. And that's, you know, that really is the biggest secret. I in my book, I talk about it as millionaire inner zone, but I was noticing some days everything came together, you know, it's just like magic, right? Everything you need, the resources, the people, the conversations always seem to be right. Other days they weren't. And part of my background is I have a master's in clinical psych. So I got very curious and I started studying it for like 7 years. Like, how do you get in this flow? How do you get in the zone? Because I wanted to learn how to do it at will and be able to duplicate it in other people because I have this science background. And I learned how to do that. So I live in the zone. Things happen so magically for me. If I don't get the right ticket, like I have ticket karma. Right? It's a joke, but it's true. Like the day I go to get a plane ticket, they're on sale. I get to the hotel and I got the upgraded suite. I go to get the ticket, like to a concert, I have front row. It's in the zone and I just meet all the right people and everything happens. It's over and over and over again. And it's the most important thing you can learn to do if you really want to build wealth and have a successful life. You've got to learn how to get in the zone so that you can just resonate that energy that's exactly what you want. And everything you get attracted, it gets attracted to you and it just happens. And that's how people get the gold at the Olympics as well. They get in that zone and you watch it. You watch like a skier. They're in the zone.
Beautiful. So JV, I don't think I can let this just slide now.
Okay.
How?
I'm kind of low energy though. So, you know,
if I have to pick up the energy,
let me know.
You know how to do it. But say I'm a new entrepreneur. Say I'm going to start a new business on the internet or just some business. I'm a solo entrepreneur. How do I get into the zone?
Absolutely. There are three steps. And the first step is to be present. Now, that sounds like the easy step, but now we're talking Eckhart Tolle's type of be present, meditate, be present. So you really have to cultivate that skill. That's the hardest skill to cultivate, but there's an easy way to do it. And the easy way is to focus on your breath. So for instance, if you're driving a car, I don't want you to do this, but if you were to take just 3 slow breaths in and out and focus on your breath, all of a sudden you'd begin to notice that you felt more present, more aware, more conscious, more grounded, which is really the power. I went and lived at a Buddhist monastery for 2 months just to learn to meditate. That was my whole goal. In fact, you're in Canada. Gapo Abbey is up in Cape Breton area of Nova Scotia. It's the only Tibetan Buddhist monastery in North America. So I went there and I did a 2-month retreat, and we would meditate like 12 hours a day. And I learned, it's really talked about as the practice of being present. So the first step is really getting grounded in the present moment and then be open. Now, by open, I mean it's the exact opposite of strategic planning, although I'm a huge strategic planner, but you're now open that there are possibilities that you don't know anything about and that there may be a way to get there 100 times faster. And you're just open to new ideas coming in. And then you get authentic. And by authentic, I mean every step you take, everybody, there's a different place in their body. It might be your gut, your chest, but there's a way in which you sit on a sensory level, feel this is real. This is right. This is what I should be doing. So when you're present, you're open to possibility and you're authentic. You go through what it's almost like the star show where you kind of go through that vortex and it's a circle. You kind of go through a vortex and you enter this whole new dimension of reality where you're just in this zone and everything starts to happen in a way that's authentic and right for you and right for the people all around you. And when you approach your business from that standpoint, just ask yourself a question. Would you rather get up in the morning prepared to allow your business to unfold in whatever way is perfectly right for you and everybody you'll come in contact with, or did you want to struggle all day long?
Well said. Authenticity, that's a big portion, I think, of my business and of my life, but I'm only really in the last year or so becoming aware of it. And that gut feeling that you talk about, yes, is absolutely something that I just, to me, everything, it really guides what I do. And when my gut tells me to do something and or to not do something, I really, anytime I've gone against that, it's ended up horrible.
Well, yeah, I talk about it like when you make a deal come true and come together. And I've done this. This is why everything that I've learned, you know, I've done both sides of it, is that when you make a deal come to, like, you are so determined it has to happen, it will backfire in some way because it's not right. And when you allow that, even no matter how much you want that deal to happen, you're so convinced this is the deal that's going to put that $100,000 in the bank. Everything's going to be on easy street because you've never made $100,000 in a month, but nothing feels right about it. Let me assure you, there's a better deal coming down the road and you will be better off not doing it.
That's powerful. That's cool. I like that. JV, there's a time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize that either they have a calling to make something for the world or that they just can't work for somebody else.
Right.
Can you tell me about when this happened for you?
Well, those are kind of two questions. Could I answer them in two parts?
I would love it if you did, yeah.
Okay. I don't think I ever thought I was supposed to work for anybody else. I had my first little business selling tangerine juice from my pup tent to high school students at the age of 4. Out in the country where there were 300 to 400 people and they paid me a dime and it was actually a lot of money. Okay. I don't think I ever thought I was supposed to work for anyone. It never even dawned on me that this was something I'd like to do. No, not a childhood dream at all. At 5, I decided to become a millionaire. At 25, I got there because we really didn't have the money to even get me the candy bar I wanted. I knew not to ask for it when I was 5 years old. And so by 5, I had decided that the answer to life, as little boys will do, is because it was kind of a simplistic answer, well, I'll just grow up and be a millionaire. It's just that I believed it. And it wasn't until I was writing my book and my editor said to me one day, she goes, JB, because she was reading my writing, she goes, do you realize that other people didn't have this dream at 5? And I went, no, I actually thought everybody did. I just thought most people weren't good at doing it because it was so logical to me. We didn't have any money. What's the opposite? Let's just grow up and have $1 million. And I'm sure we can get the candy bar and everything else we want. So I never had that desire. But the second question was the turning point where you realized that there was some bigger meaning for my life.
No, well, just see, what I find with entrepreneurs is it's either one or the other, where it's they just struggled through working a job after college and then just like, I can't do this. And you didn't have...
I actually didn't do that.
Right. And then it seems like you actually... You also maybe didn't even do it because you realized that you needed to do something bigger. You just really just didn't want to be broke anymore.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be broke anymore. Now, when I was in graduate school, I was 22. I worked for a year and went to graduate school full time. But I was only working because it was the only thing that at that moment I knew how to do to get money just with everything that was going on. And also it was in my field because I was in clinical psych. So I worked in occlusion at a psychiatric hospital, which is when I decided I didn't want a PhD in how to work with crazy because it didn't really turn out to be a whole lot of fun. And they just turned out to be crazy. And it was, I know, big surprise, right? Big shock. I went there and I was kind of existential. And then about the fourth month, I realized that there were people that were biochemically, you know, out of balance, and that was the truth, and that the psychiatrists I thought were crazier than the patients. So that was another interesting thing. So, you know, I just said, I don't think this is really what I want. I was really realizing that the part of psychology I was most interested in was the human potential part, you know, where you take somebody who's like, you know, we're all kind of have our functions and dysfunctions, but you take somebody who basically has something together here, and we want to do something major with our life, and we want to break through our fears and get the right beliefs and the mindset and the motivation. That was the part I realized I was excited about. You know, how do you achieve at your peak? That's a whole different question than, you know, how do you realize the television's on?
So you keep mentioning, and in my research for you today and for this interview,
I know that's a scary thing when somebody says in my research for you, because you go like, what is out on the internet? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
I won't tell you all that I found, but you've already mentioned it. And you made your first million at 25. How did you make your first million at 25 years old?
Well, my dad was, you know, in writing my book, I had to look back and go, okay, what was not working? Okay. My dad actually was, this is an important distinction. My dad was actually a very good entrepreneur. Now, I'm going to define an entrepreneur as somebody who can get a vision, somebody who can really see the trends, you know, somebody who gets the bigger picture. My dad was great at that. But he was a really bad businessman. And there's a very big distinction. He didn't have systems. He didn't pay attention to the numbers. He didn't, you know, do those kinds of things. And as a result, at 23, when I was finishing my graduate degree, my father's company was basically bankrupt. And I was an only child. I really loved my dad. And he says, will you come work with me for 6 months? And I said, and I purposely took no business courses because we had had so many troubles and my dad was in business. I was convinced, this is the interesting paradox, I was convinced business was the one thing one shouldn't do if they wanted to be rich, right? So I was going to go to medical school. That's what I had decided. All the doctors I knew seemed to be doing okay. I was going to go to medical school. So I came home and I worked for 6 months and it was like that duck to water thing. Right. I just knew intuitively what to do with everything. I organized when I later got an MBA 12 years later. I looked back and I'd done everything exactly by the textbook. I created systems. I organized everything. I had policies. I had rules. You know, the biggest aha. And I used that zone, my intuition. I was in the zone all the time and I kept notes every day. And in fact, when my dad died 3 years ago, I went through his house and I found my notebook that I'd taken notes all year long, and at night I would study them. And so the third month, which is kind of an interesting thing that happened, because I'm really a numbers geek, and the third month on that, I took a weekend, and I said, well, this is crazy. We're pulling, it was a trucking line. We had a regional trucking line. We were pulling hundreds and hundreds of loads a week, but we had no money in the bank, and we couldn't pay our bills, and I couldn't figure this out. So I just went through all the numbers from the first 3 months, and now it seems funny. It seems really funny, but I called my dad up, and I go, Dad, I figured it all out. We're taking in less money every week than we pay out. Now, you would think that would have been somewhat obvious, right? But the profoundness of it was that once I realized this, and this is the importance of awareness, because I really thought through it and I said, oh, kind of like the little boy at five that says, oh, I'll grow up and be a millionaire. I said, well, what's the problem with, what's the solution to this problem? I called all the clients on Monday, and I got as much as 25% increases because I said, we can't keep pulling your loads, and they needed us to pull them if you don't give us more money because I'm losing money. So what are we going to do about this? And I got massive raises. So after I thought about that for a week, and I said, oh, there's another side to this equation. So then I called all my suppliers up, and I had little meetings. And I said, I think you're overcharging me. I tell you what, I'm going to take bids from all your competitors, which did not make them happy. And we got all of our prices down. And then on the fourth month, I said, well, the people who are repairing our trucks and trailers seem to be like taking advantage of us and keeping them too long and charging too much. So I leased a piece of property with a building on it, hired two maintenance people and started another company. And we did all our own maintenance. And guess what? Our maintenance costs went down. So those are the kind of things I did. And when you look back, you go, well, they make sense. Yeah, they made sense. That's why they worked. But you didn't make sense until you had the awareness that that's what was really going on. And because what I have found in business, and I love business, there's just like few things that I like to travel. Maybe I like travel more than business. I don't know. If you can travel and make money, that's really the ideal. But the thing about business, all the answers are simple. There are no complicated answers. It's when you complicate things that you have bad answers. The real answers, like in life, are all very simple. You just have to have the awareness by looking at what's really going on.
So your description, or just as you walked us through from making or handing out more money than taking in with the trucking company to turning it around and becoming profitable, was so detailed and so exact. And I come from, like, I was raised in like small business, and my dad doing like, and so it was around me. And yeah, that was interesting. And the way you say it is, it's true. It makes it so kind of simple, right? To see that there is, yeah.
But it's not simple until you see it.
Exactly. And most people don't see it, though.
Right. Well, and that's, I have a formula. So when I was writing the book, I asked myself, how did I do it? And I realized there were two things going on. One was the zone part, because I've been doing that I'm just kind of doing it intuitively. And the other was I get things down into three steps, and I like to take them to their, you know, kind of their lowest denominator, so that it's really, really simple. Like, I've got the essence. That's what I love to, you know, to figure out about something. So I sat down, and it's been about 6 months. Okay, now it sounds crazy. It's been 6 months, but it took 6 months to go through all these different things that I had done and been successful at, and wonder, well, what's the commonality? What's the simple answer? And the answer was, there's only three things I was doing over and over and over and over again. And it's three steps: conscious, focused, action. And then I started breaking it down. Conscious is the mindset. Conscious is being aware of what's going on. Conscious is having the specific result you want. Conscious is knowing who you need to have on your team. Conscious is knowing the different options for the path of how you're going to get to that. Then you get just laser focus, and not just with your mind, but with your heart. Your heart has to be all into it. Your body has to be ready to take action. And then you only take the actions in the correct order that will get you most efficiently and effectively to that result. And it's really that simple, and we just do it over and over and over and over again. That's how you create wealth. It's how you create success. It's how you achieve any goal.
Your father was great at business?
He was not good at business. He was great.
Oh, no, sorry.
He was great as an entrepreneur. And I really learned that distinction when I sat down to understand what had happened here. Because my father could always tell you where things were headed. And he could figure out how you should even act on it and take action on it. But because he wasn't paying attention to the details and the systems of business, I mean, that's really, you know, if we're going to break it down into hard skills and soft skills, let's talk about that. The hard skills are that you know how to use word processing. That's a hard skill. Or you know how to create an image, or that, those are hard skills. But what is the problem is, most people think it's the hard skills is where all the money's made. Oh, I got to get more people who know how to do this and this and this. No. That's about a fourth of the money. There is money there. But the real money in business comes from all the soft skills that most people never take the time and energy to perfect. It's showing up on time. It's keeping your word. It's being able to calculate how long something will take in order to achieve it and how much money it will take. And that's accurate. Those are your soft skills, and that's where all the money is. That's what was missing, is we didn't have systems. You know, once I put systems in, then I could train three people to do the same job, and depending on who was there, they would do it exactly the same way. And we'd get exactly the same result. And that's what McDonald's and Burger King does every day. And that's what every successful business does. But it's what small businesses do poorly, because they're not focused on it.
Wow. That's absolutely profound in its simplicity. And in all my research I did from you, I was not expecting the conversation to go this way. This is really cool.
Where did you think it was going? I'm curious.
I'm not sure. One thing, most of my interviews go in a more of a set way, but this, we really went off on this, and just your definition, or like the distinction between a business person and an entrepreneur, I've never even not only thought about it that way, but heard of anybody describing it in that way. And that's amazing. Because I truly think that if people can figure out which one they are and then take themselves to being a business person.
And that's a really important point that you're making, because as you grow your business, when you start getting in the seven-figure range, I mean, we were able to sell these companies. You cannot sell a company that requires your presence. It's impossible. You cannot do that. It's not sellable. So a lot of people who build businesses around themselves, even if your whole business is that you're a podcaster, you can't sell that, because when you stop being the podcast host, it's no longer the show, right? And you might make a lot of money at it, but you don't have a sellable business. So you've got to have, and the person who's going to really run a business. Now, I know how to manage a business. I'll tell you, it is not my goal to manage Conscious Millionaire. I'm constantly, you know, looking for the right people as we're growing, because managing a business is one set of skills, and it's people who really like routine, and they're going to pay attention to the same details over and over and over again. And that's what they get up in the morning to do. And that's their love, and that's their passion. My passion is coming up with 12 new ideas in a day and asking, how can we start executing these? This is a very different passion. So I can do that, but it's not my passion.
Excellent. So with, say, 12 new ideas, or say a new project or something within your business, Conscious Millionaire, how do you decide now at this point which project you should execute on and which projects you shouldn't execute on?
It's a fabulous question, because it's exactly the one that I and anybody who's growing has to make every day. Because the more you begin to grow, the faster you grow, the more opportunities are going to come your way. And as soon as you really start getting something out there that attracts people, the truth is you're going to have more opportunities, constantly have more opportunities than you can possibly act on. And so you've got to have some criteria. And one of those criteria needs to be, what's the purpose of your business? I'm here to awaken people, to help them become more conscious, to help them make money by getting their message out there in a way that transforms other lives and uplifts humanity and makes this a better world. So I have to look at, what's my end goal? Is something going to be an opportunity that's going to support that, or is it not going to support that? And then you start looking at, well, what are the main ways in which you want to be doing that? So right now I'm looking at a lot of possible collaborations, but is the collaboration going to take me forward in the way I've decided I want to build the business? Or is it going to take me down a side stream and take me out of my central stream, in which case it's not a good decision? So you have to have some idea of where you want to go, and what are your initiatives for, say, the next 6 to 12 months? You know, and I've basically chosen most of my programs for the next 12 months that we're already building. It doesn't mean that somebody can't come in and there'd be something that would work that I haven't thought of. Absolutely. But it would have to fit within the framework of what we're doing and why we're growing in a particular way, and not be something that's completely different than the business that we're in. And a lot of people have no idea what business they're in because they haven't really well defined it, and they don't know what their purpose is because they haven't well defined it. Until you do that and you know your values, it's very hard to make the right decisions about which opportunities. And then you also have to look at the ROI. I mean, if one opportunity is going to take the same amount of time and energy and financial resources and team work, and it's going to make you $100,000, and another one could make you $500,000, and they're both going to further your purpose, you take the $500,000.
True. And is it wrong to say, though, that thinking like this and being super strategic in what it is you decide to pursue in projects or ideas within your business, it is easier when you don't have to worry about paying the light bill next month? And I know that, not that it's a cart before the horse, I know that to get to where you don't have to worry about the money, you do have to think these ways. But when you're really struggling and starting out, it is hard to do that, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't. I think it depends on how you decide to grow your business. it, because there's really these two ways. And what I'm talking about, I call it the conscious millionaire path. Let's call it conscious business, you know, get it broader. So from that perspective, you're always driven by this desire to make a difference out there, to positively impact people's lives. And I would say that almost every person I've had on my podcast, in one way or another, they all said the same thing, that the big money is made not by focusing on the money first, but by focusing on the value that you feel passionate about delivering to other people and doing it in a way where you go out and you survey. It's done smart. You deliver it in the way that your client wants, at a price point your client wants, at a gross profit margin that will give you a great return. You don't ignore those things, but your drive is that you want to change that person's life. And when that's the truth and you can communicate that in a way that's very authentic and connecting, and your client knows and the prospect knows because they can feel it, that you have their back, they will buy from you and you will make the money. But if you just say, oh, I have to give that up because I have to pay the bills, you're taking the wrong path for paying the bills, because you can pay 10 times the bills if you do it that way.
Excellent.
Okay, I'm a little passionate for that path.
Yeah, that's excellent. I love it. JV, can you tell me about the toughest business decision you've had to make in the last 6 months?
Oh, the last 6 months.
Let's keep it close, or a year if it has to be.
No, let me think. The toughest. I think the toughest has been getting clear that I must assemble a team around me that behaves in a way that allows me to thrive, and getting clarity about what that meant and getting very specific about it, and then defining thriving in a way that would also be thriving for other people because it would be right for them as well. So that's been hard because I've had to constantly make shifts in who's involved with me, and I care deeply about other people. So in that process, I've had to make some decisions. However, the decisions are actually in the best interest of everyone involved. But it was getting clarity that I can't do the work I'm here in the world to do, and I can't build Conscious Millionaire and my nonprofit the way I'm here to build them if I can't thrive, and what is necessary for me to thrive. And I think that's a very important question for every business owner, every entrepreneur to ask themselves, is what do I need in order to thrive? And are the people on my team helping me thrive and lifting me up, or are they taking energy from me? And if they're taking energy from you and that can't change, you've got to make a change.
Exactly. Very, very, very well said. JV, if your career was to end today,
yes,
would you be happy with the legacy that you've left behind?
No. No.
How would you change it?
The legacy, the vision that I have for the future is so enormous that I need another 30, 40 years for me to really accomplish the legacy that I want to leave. I need to be able to make significant, what I've started calling cracks in the cement, because the cement's the old unconscious way of doing business and living and working as a global community, if we can even use community in the way a lot of global things happen, and helping with this transition that so many people are a part of, to create a more conscious world, a more conscious way to do business, a more conscious way for us to live, a more conscious way for us to connect with one another. And I think most of my work is ahead of me. Therefore, I still need to accomplish that.
And I wish you all the luck in the world doing it. I think you will. You definitely are authentic in knowing what you want, and I think you have it figured out now how to get there. You just need the time, and you'll get there.
Well, the exciting part is the journey, and I want to put that quote out there because I wrote my book over 7 years, and I wrote it 7 times because I wanted it right when it was finished. And 4 of those 7 times, the first sentence was identical. And it ended with the first sentence being the first sentence that I had started with. And that sentence is, if you miss your real journey, you miss your real life. And that why, for me, the only way I can even answer the legacy question authentically is to get to that last setting sun and look back and say, did I do the journey right? Was I true to my path? Did I answer my calling? And if I did, then I did the right journey. Because that's what matters.
Excellent. And I fully agree. All right, JP, this has been a lot of fun. Can you let our audience know where they can find out more about you?
Sure. We have a website, Conscious. Everything's Conscious Millionaire. It's very simple. We like to make it simple. ConsciousMillionaire.com. I have a very special gift I have for everybody who's listening. I've just written a 35-page manifesto titled First Millionaire Manifesto, 7 Steps to 7 Figures. It's actually the 7 qualities that you need to develop if you're going to make your first million. And I have a very special URL. It's consciousmillionaire.com/hack so that everybody can come from the show and get that. And I would love to invite you to come listen to my show, Conscious Millionaire Podcast. It's 5 days a week, business coaching for conscious entrepreneurs. So you can just find that at iTunes under Conscious Millionaire. So I really appreciate, and I'll call you John. I really appreciate being on the show, John. I love your show. When I went and rated it, and that's when I contacted you, I was like, wow, this is a great show. It really is a great show.
You did, and I appreciate that. And I'll put links to that really, really awesome bonus that you've made for everyone. I'll put links to it on our show notes, and I'll put links to your podcast as well and everywhere else that we can find you and the fun stuff I can dig up about you. So thank you very much, JV. This was fun.
Thank you so much.
JV Crum III, everybody. That was a lot of fun, that conversation. I got a lot out of that. I actually didn't know that much about JV until he approached me a few weeks ago and just emailed me about my show, said he really liked it, all that stuff. And then I started looking into him, and I knew I had to have him on the show. He's really, really got a great insight. I read his book, Conscious Millionaire. I got it on my Kindle, and I've been reading it the last few nights. And he's really opening my mind up to the potential of what we can do as people with our businesses and just further, I guess it's finding a legacy and stuff within it. I always thought I was kind of too young for that maybe, but he's teaching me that's the wrong way to think. And I thank you for that, JV. But it's time. It's time. It's time. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
The thing about business, all the answers are simple. There are no complicated answers. It's when you complicate things that you have bad answers. The real answers, like in life, are all very simple. You just have to have the awareness by looking at what's really going on.
And that's the hack. I need to admit it, JV, sometimes when I'm looking for the hack, I have a hard time picking out the one that I think is, I guess, just the one that is actually the hack that we need. Usually there's several of them, and this one was so clear to me because this is beautifully said. I have banged my head against the wall with clients that I consult with or friends or people I just try and help, and it's always over the fact that everything in business and everything just, I guess, in life that you really want to do to succeed and make something cool of your life, it's never hard. It's not easy, but it's very simple. And you have to, if you overcomplicate, everybody wants to overcomplicate the answer to these questions. And it's so not necessary. You have to get to the essence of it. I always tell people that if you're reaching out to someone to help you, and you should reach out to people even that you think are unreachable, because people are really willing to help you. But this is how you should do it. This is how I always tell people. If you want to email me to ask me something to help you in your business or your life, by all means, do it. But do it in this way, because lots of us are busy. We get a lot of emails. We have businesses to run. We have things to do. But put it in 5 sentences or less. This is simplification of your problem. If you can't simplify it to 5 sentences or less, I don't think you understand your problem well enough, and therefore I can't help you. But 5 sentences or less. Use this on anyone, myself included. 1 to 2 sentences. Give the person or me the background on you, your business, your idea, whatever it happens to be, but the background in 1 or 2 sentences. 1 sentence, tell me where you want to be in, say, 6 months from now. Give me another sentence of what you think the next step is. If you don't know what the next step is, then just tell me that. With this simplification of a problem or a business idea or anything, we can distill it and we can solve it. It's really it can be overcomplicated, but you just want to really, really focus to not overcomplicate these problems. Simplify them always to the root and then solve that root problem. And everything stemming from that root will be solved with it. Thank you again so much. You have no idea how much I appreciate the support you guys have given me. And it means so much. And I'm really, really super happy to be doing this with you. 155 or something, 5-star reviews on iTunes. It's amazing. Every day I go on there and there's more of them. And I really, truly appreciate everyone who's done it. If you haven't yet, hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes will take you right to the page. Or just go into iTunes on your phone, look up Hack the Entrepreneur, leave me a rating and review. I would so, so, so much appreciate it. If you can, put your Twitter handle, your Twitter name, your at, whatever, attached to the end of it. Because I would love to be able to say thank you to you and reach out to you on Twitter. I unfortunately can't respond to you directly through iTunes. But put your Twitter name in there. Let's have a conversation. Again, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. Until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.